Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. You all have the honor of being the only case on our docket this afternoon that is set for oral argument. So we are ready to proceed. I understand counsel has given our clerk the time you would like to argue. Our clerk will call the case and we'll begin.
The court will now call Watts Regulated Company versus Texas Farm Insurance Company and its number G of David Martinez and Texas Farm Insurance Company of number G of Pedro Cleveland. May it please support Mr. Keith Smith will argue for the appellant.
Mr. Smith, you may proceed.
Thank you, Anna. May it please the court, Watts Regulator comes here today seeking enforcement of an arbitration provision in an agreement that it is a party to through an entity, ARB Forums, who is an administrator of arbitrations. During the applicable period, and there are two claims at issue here in this consolidated appeal, the Martinez case had an incident that arose on April 23rd, 2014. The total amount of that claim is slightly less than $10,000. The CIMO case arose on May 8th, 2013. The total amount of that claim is less than $15,000. And the record below reflects that there are approximately 157 cases across the country and more than 40 in the state of Texas that fall within the parameters of this arbitration agreement. And that is, and this is not in dispute, that they are property subrogation matters under $100,000 that arose during the period of time that Farmers was still a participant in ARB Forums. So the party seeking to compel arbitration must show that there is a valid arbitration agreement and that the dispute in question falls within the scope of that agreement. Farmers does not dispute that when the claims arose, it was a member of ARB Forums. The main issue in dispute today is whether the current claims are covered by the scope of the arbitration agreement. The parties agree that the claims otherwise would fall within the scope of the agreement, but for the fact that Farmers has withdrawn from ARB Forums after these claims arose. The issue then is whether Farmers can avoid the obligation to submit any claim to arbitration by holding back those claims and then withdrawing from ARB Forums and withdrawing from the arbitration agreement. There are a few legal principles at issue which the parties do not dispute, although they do dispute the application of those legal principles. The first is that the Federal Arbitration Act mandates that written agreements to arbitrate any disputes shall be valid, irrevocable, and enforceable. And under the Federal Arbitration Act, there is a strong presumption in favor of arbitrability, and any doubt concerning the scope of arbitration should be referred in favor of arbitration. Federal and Texas law agree on this point. When deciding whether claims fall within the scope of arbitration, the courts must employ a strong presumption in favor of arbitration, and that's the In Rubio case cited in our briefs. The scope of the arbitration agreement must be broadly interpreted, but exceptions to the arbitration agreement must be narrowly construed. Here, Farmers would like you to broadly interpret an exception to the arbitration agreement, that their withdrawal relieves them of their obligation under Article 1st of the agreement that any claim for property subrogation must be submitted to arbitration. The Texas Supreme Court has instructed that because state and federal policies continue to favor arbitration, a presumption exists favoring agreements to arbitrate under the Federal Arbitration Act, and courts must resolve any doubts about an arbitration agreement scope in favor of arbitration. And this court, citing to the Texas Supreme Court, likewise held, unless it can be said with positive assurance that an arbitration clause is not susceptible of an interpretation which would cover the dispute at issue, a court should not deny arbitration. Watts would submit that the agreement in question is susceptible to an interpretation that would enforce arbitration. And that interpretation is that Article 1st mandates compulsory arbitration, and Article 6th allows withdrawal from arbitration, from the arbitration agreement, but requires that those claims that you choose to pursue, and an insurance company won't necessarily pursue every claim in its portfolio, but those claims that you choose to pursue must be brought in ARB forms. So that interpretation gives meaning to both the compulsory component of Article 1st and the withdrawal component of Article 6th. If you were to adopt the interpretation put forth by Farmers, the withdrawal would allow them to take any claim they don't want to pursue and withdraw, and that claim would never then have the right, Watts would not have the right to pursue a vested right to arbitrate that it had when it signed up for this agreement. And the contract, arbitration agreement, like any other contract, is interpreted in accordance with state law, in accordance with Texas law. And again, those principles are not in dispute between the parties. The contract should be enforced according to its terms. You should consider the entire contract, the entire writing. You should try to give meaning to each and every clause, because the presumption is that the parties did not enter into a contract where certain clauses were meaningless. And the court should not interpret the contract to render clauses of the contract meaningless. And the intent of the parties, in construing the intent of the parties, the court should look at the particular business activity sought to be served. In this case, the particular business activity was solely compulsion of arbitration for certain claims that meet certain categories, and in which both of these claims do. So since that was the sole intent of this agreement, and this arbitration clause wasn't ancillary to any other provision, like a larger contract with larger purpose that just happened to have an arbitration clause, the express purpose of this agreement was compulsory arbitration. And in looking at those factors, we believe that the court should compel arbitration in favor of the presumption of arbitration and also through a interpretation of the words in the contract. The court should look only at the words of the contract. If the words are clear, the court should interpret the contract as written. If the court needs to look at extraneous evidence, parole evidence, in order to interpret the agreement, then by definition, the court has determined that there's an ambiguity in the contract, which would require looking at extraneous evidence. And if there is an ambiguity in the contract, then the case must be submitted to arbitration. The presumption in favor of arbitration would require that if the court were to determine there was an ambiguity, it must send it to arbitration. Because if the court finds an ambiguity, then citing back to the Brooks case of this court, the court cannot be said, it cannot be said with positive assurance that an arbitration clause is not susceptible of an interpretation which would cover the disputed issue.
Which unambiguous provision in this agreement do you point us to that would compel us to your viewpoint on how this should turn out?
I think you can't read the withdrawal provisions of Article 6 without looking at the mandatory compulsory provisions of Article 1st. It's very clear that Article 1st says any claim must be submitted to arbitration. The two claims at issue were claims that arose when, it's undisputed, Farmers was still a member of ARB Forums. So you can't read that out. You can't read out Article 1st in the compulsory arbitration provision simply by withdrawing from ARB Forums.
So you would have us ignore the plain language of the withdrawal provision in favor of another article?
No. I believe that they have to be read together. But if you read Article 6 as Farmers...
It says cases pending before the arbitration panel. Were these cases pending before the arbitration panel?
They were not. But it also says in Article 1 that all claims must be submitted to arbitration. So you have a claim. An insurance company has lots of claims, and some of them they choose to pursue. Once they withdrew, they had 60 days.
They had potential claims. What if they never bring that claim? What if they never bring the claim? Then it's not a claim pending before a panel. So a claim has to mean something other than a potential for a claim. It has to mean a claim.
Actually, the provisions of the guidelines and the rules define what a claim is. They don't have it in terms of a definition of claim.
That arose after the withdrawal, though, didn't it? Didn't those guidelines come out after the insurance company?
No, the guidelines have always existed.
The guidelines that you cited in your brief, though, those came after, did they not?
I believe the 2015 version is what's cited in the brief.
Right.
The guidelines existed before that. The 2015 version changed one of the exclusions under Article 2nd.
So we can't be guided by something that happened clearly after they were withdrawn. They withdrew from their membership in this arbitration association. We can't be guided by provisions that were enacted after their withdrawal, can we?
Well, the provision I was referencing was not enacted after the withdrawal. The provision that was enacted after withdrawal was the amendment that said product liability claims were no longer part of compulsory arbitration. The provisions that say that when you sign up for ARB forums, you have to take all of your pending cases, unless they're so stale that they've been abandoned, or they're already in litigation. When you sign up, you need to submit all those claims to arbitration. So all your pending claims that you want to pursue, and Your Honor's right, I mean, you will not pursue, an insurance company is not going to pursue every claim it ever has. It's going to weigh the ones that they think there is a third party that may be liable, and whether that person, that entity, is a member of our forums, and it would pursue that. So it's not a blanket provision that says, you know, we are going to pursue, every claim must be thrown in. In fact, it specifically says, the guidelines specifically say you shouldn't do that. We don't want the entities, when they sign up, to go through and look through their old, stale claims and throw them all into ARB forms. That's not the intent of the agreement. But your pending cases, your pending claims, have to be submitted to arbitration. And there's no real dispute about a claim is a claim, a case is a case. Our issue is that they were withdrawing. They had an obligation under Article 1st to submit all claims to arbitration. So when they knew they were going to withdraw, it was their obligation to file the claims that they had and make them cases. And what the provision, I believe, Article 6 provides is ARB forums needs jurisdiction in order to be able to continue handling the cases that are before it when a party withdraws. So what Article 6 does is say, we, ARB forums, will have jurisdiction over those cases that are filed in front of us when the withdrawal becomes effective. So it doesn't conflict with Article 1, Article 1st, that says you have to bring all your claims in ARB forums, and Article 6 says if you're going to withdrawal, you've got to give 60 days notice, and those cases that you file in that interim will be allowed. We will have jurisdiction to continue to hear them. And that is consistent and giving meaning to Article 1st and Article 6.
Does the word jurisdiction appear anywhere in that provision that you're talking about, either in the heading or in the body of the provision itself?
It does not. But what it does say is that we will be allowed to continue to hear those cases that are pending before us. Otherwise, if it was silent on that point, an argument could be made that, well, we are withdrawing and we're also going to pull all our cases out. That would also not be the intent of the parties when they entered into the contract to submit all claims to compulsory arbitration. So if you read Article 6 as saying we can withdraw at any time, then you give no meaning to Article 1. And that's the argument that we raised regarding the contract being illusory. You know, they could technically, farmers could have said, we're going to withdraw. Any case that they wanted to bring in arbitration, they could have brought in that 60-day period. Any case they wanted to bring in litigation, they could have filed on the 61st day. And on the 62nd day, they could have re-upped and said, we're back in, having gotten all the cases they wanted in court and all the cases they wanted in arbitration. You know, that means there was no compulsion on them. There was no mutuality. And under Texas law, an arbitration clause is illusory if one party can avoid its promise to arbitrate by amending or terminating its agreement to arbitrate. And in the two cases that both parties cite, the courts had noticed, and although both determined that there was the contract was not illusory, the arbitration clause was not illusory, in both instances, the court said, because the contract says it's not retroactive, and because it says you have to give notice. Here, they're trying to retroactively apply a change, which is their withdrawal, to cases that they had an obligation to bring when they were a member. And they're providing notice to ARB Forums, but they're not providing notice to us. And as a product manufacturer, we have no ability to affirmatively bring a claim. We can't say, we know Farmers has some claims against us, they're withdrawing, we want to bring those cases. There's no right to a declaratory judgment or anything like that. The contract only covers subrogation claims. So only Farmers is in a position to know what claims they have, and when they withdraw, they can file those in court. Therefore, there's no real compulsion on them. They could do this anytime they wanted. And that was not the intent of the parties. That certainly was not the intent of Watts when it entered into an arbitration agreement that required all claims to be submitted to arbitration. So I would submit that that reading is inconsistent. To read Article 6 that way is inconsistent with Article 1. And the only way to read both provisions together as having meaning is that you read Article 6 to provide that during that 60-day period, if you want to bring a claim, you should bring it during that 60-day period. Otherwise, you will not be allowed to bring it otherwise. Thank you.
Counsel, just a moment. I was waiting on Judge Sutter to get through, but I have a question.
I'm finished.
The incentive to follow the procedure in Article 1st would be that if you are a signatory and you fail to submit a claim, something you know about from in your records having received a claim and here even paid it, would be, according to what I'm reading in your briefing, that the claim is barred and cannot be pursued in any form.
Actually, I'm glad you asked that, because the rules specifically address that issue. And the rules provide, and I'm referring to the Martinez court's clerk's record at page 31, that when a matter that should have been filed in arbitration under one of the agreements is placed in litigation, the party filing in litigation must dismiss or discontinue the suit within 60 calendar days of notification of the adverse party, in this case Watts, having been a signator or their signatory status. By demanding the matter be placed in arbitration, the adverse party, Watts, is affirming, I'm reading Watts into that quote, is affirming that arbitration has jurisdiction over the dispute and thereby waives any affirmative defense regarding jurisdiction once arbitration is filed. So if they were to pursue one of these matters in litigation, like they have in the Martinez case and they had in the Simo case, once we notify them that we are a signatory to ARB Forms and that the claim arose during the period of time when they too were a signatory of ARB Forms, they can bring it in ARB Forms and we have consented to their ability to bring that in ARB Forums. And the contract specifically provides for consent in Article 4th, where parties may, with written consent, submit a claim that exceeds the forums or where a forums monetary limit, or where a non-signatory wants to participate. So in this instance, if Farmers becomes a non-signatory, but whether mistakenly or by design, files a matter that arose during the course of the arbitration agreement in litigation, once we notify them of that and that we are a signatory and the claim arose during that period, they can bring that matter back before ARB Forums. And we have upfront consented to ARB Forums hearing that matter. So they would not be barred.
Your brief had said on a footnote that this was a consensual matter as to one of the claims.
Oh, it would be consensual as to either of the claims or both of the claims. That would be a mistake if it said that it would only be as to one. But we have pre-consented, in essence. The ARB Forum rules pre-consent us to that. We have to allow them to bring the claim back in to ARB Forums, even if it would be barred otherwise. And it actually, I won't read the whole book, but there's a provision in there that in the event they bring litigation, the statute runs, that we also waive the defense of statute of limitations during that period of time.
Well, I'm thinking that'd be essential, because it would be past the statute of limitations if you were to be prohibited from bringing any claim in a forum. Now, let's go to a situation where there's no litigation filed, merely a claim received, perhaps paid but not, perhaps not paid. in that situation, the insurance company, Farmers, would have notice of a matter for which they might receive a claim. And if they had notice on their records and could be proven that they knew about a claim, but they didn't file litigation and they didn't submit it to arbitration, then isn't the effect of the agreement that they're barred from pursuing that subrogation claim?
I don't think that's the case before us, but if they didn't bring it...
I'm not saying it's before us. I'm looking at what discussion was in some of the in the briefing that contended that the situation I just outlined was the result of what happened if what went... what the facts were is that Farmers or any other signatory just didn't ever file a claim with the arbitration board and never attempted to arbitrate and hadn't filed a lawsuit either. That claim would just be barred.
They could still bring it within our forums. Or they could file it in litigation and we could notify them that we're a signatory and the claim arose during the period of time.
How much time is allowed? Apparently that must be in the regulations because it's not in the contract.
It is not. It's in the rules.
All right. The rules you're calling, that's the regulations that were revised on January 1st of 2015?
No, that's the guidelines.
Guidelines.
The rules.
And the rules and the guidelines.
The rules start at the Martinez clerk's record, page 31.
Right.
And that was what I was reading from, Your Honor, that they do have the right to then bring that case in. If they were to file it in litigation, we would, just like we're doing here, move to compel, or the way the rules are written, designed to be more collegial than that, we just notify them that we're a signatory.
The pellet's brief?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't hear the question.
You said the pellet's brief, page 31?
No, it's the Martinez clerk's record, page 31.
Okay.
That's the rules are set forth there, and the guidelines are different.
How much time is allowed for there to be a conscious decision made not to file a claim? How much time is allowed to file a claim in arbitration whenever you're in the position I'm talking about? You never filed a claim, you never filed a lawsuit, you just got a piece of a file somewhere where someone has made a claim, whether it's paid or not paid, just knowledge of it on the insurance company's part. How much time do they have to file for an arbitration decision under your interpretation of the arbitration agreement?
As much time as the statute of limitations in a particular state provides.
2 years.
In Texas, 2 years, yes.
Not 4 years on a written agreement.
Well, it's a subrogation claim. It's a subrogation claim. So it relates back to the underlying property loss. So it would be 2 years. It's not a breach of agreement. It's not a breach of contract. It's a subrogation claim. So it would be 2 years. So they have 2 years to bring that claim, 2 years from the date of loss. Just like the homeowner, the insured in this instance, has 2 years to bring any claim that they may have. So the statute of limitations would be the same. And in fact, in Texas, the subrogation claim accrues on the same date that the homeowner's claim accrues, meaning the date of loss. So, that would be the
right.
Statutory period would be 2 years.
I'm sorry to hold you over.
No, I appreciate the questions. Thank you.
Daniel, and if you would please add about 4 minutes to Ms. Daniel's time, that would be great.
May it please the court. Justices, I have just a few minutes of remarks prepared, and then I'm happy to take any of your questions. As Justice Sotomayor pointed out, this is kind of a simple contract matter. It's an unambiguous contract. We heard from counsel regarding the presumption toward arbitration, and that was referred to on the trial court level as placing a thumb on the scales toward arbitration. But what's important to remember is that a fundamental tenet of Texas contract law is that the parties are free to contract under whatever terms they deem fit. This should not give way to the presumption toward arbitration. There's no case law to that effect, and in fact, all of the case law, state and federal, states that the court should not allow the presumption to overturn the plain language of the agreement. In terms of arbitration, in Texas, a party cannot be required to arbitrate unless it's specifically and explicitly agreed to do that. The two trial courts below found that these claims were not subject to compulsory arbitration because Farmers properly withdrew under the explicit terms of this agreement. There are six articles within this agreement. It's a two-page document. It's very simple. It's not ambiguous. Watts has attempted below and on this level to misconstrue or add some confusion to this agreement. There are three items that appear in Watts's argument that you're not going to find in the agreement, in the rules, in the guidelines, or in the record other than in their pleadings and briefing. The first is whether that the idea that claims accrue or vest. This is not in the agreement, it's not in the rules. The second is that somehow what Farmers withdraw is retroactively applied. This is language that's of Watts' own making. This is not in the agreement, not in the rules. And the third premise is that a party who's withdrawing, once that 60-day time window begins, has to file every single claim that's accrued while they were a member of arbitration forums. These three items, as I've said, are not in the record, and they're creations of Watts. In order for this court to find that the trial courts held in error, you would have to adopt all three of these items, write them into the contract because they're not in it. Farmers does not dispute the application of Article the First with one small caveat. Watts's interpretation of Article the First is that claims are compulsory, they must be submitted to arbitration. This is correct, and we agree with that, with one caveat. The first two words of Article the First are signatory companies. If you adapt Watts's interpretation of the agreement, you're going to disregard those two words. Article First applies until a party wants to withdraw. Watts argues that they have an accrued or a vested right to arbitrate these claims. However, this right to arbitrate is subject to termination under the agreement, under Article 6th of the agreement. And you have two handouts before you. I'd point you to the one where Article 6 has been blown up for you. Not to insult your intelligence, but it really is this simple. Looking at Article 6, upon the written notice to ARB forums and 60 days, a company becomes a non-signatory. A company withdraws from arbitration forums in its entirety. There's one exception in Article 6 to this. The now non-signatory has withdrawn from arbitration forums except as to cases then pending in front of an arbitration panel. Justice Sedgwick pointed this out, cases versus claims. And this takes me to the second handout. At the trial court level, Justice Birdwell pointed this out. The agreement does not say all claims that accrued while a party is a signatory. It's specific, and it was carefully drafted by arbitration forums. So it's noticeable in the record and with regard to both of these claims that neither of them were filed before Farmers withdrew from this agreement. This handout was to show you that cases then pending is one small subset of claims that have accrued. It's specifically worded that way for a reason, because part of arbitration forums is that it's a voluntary forum. They wanted to give the ability for parties to leave this forum at when they wanted to do so, which Farmers decided to do. In order to countenance Watts's interpretation, this court would have to strike through the language except as to cases then pending and write in there claims that accrued. The trial courts refused to do it. This would require that everything that accrued, there are still claims, Justice Myers, you were asking, based on the two-year statute of limitations. And so farmer's withdrawal was effective September 29, 2014. There are still claims out there that their statute of limitations, any claim where statute of limitations runs before September 29th, between today and that date, there are still claims that could be brought. So this is going to continue to be an issue. I'll also bring to the court's attention that there are 37 of these motions within the state of Texas, two consolidated here and one that's going to be on oral argument in Beaumont in a month. The rest have not been set yet. So this is going to continue to be an issue. All farmers is asking is that the court upholds this agreement based on its plain language, that farmers not be required to arbitrate something when it didn't agree to arbitrate them. And I would ask that you uphold and follow the trial courts here. I think that Justice Birdwell, if you haven't read his transcript, very succinctly makes our argument for us almost. And I would ask that you do that. I'm also prepared to address any of the additional issues. I think everything was briefed clearly, but I'm open to any questions you may have at this time.
Is it farmer's position that you have the option even at a time before giving notice of withdrawal to withhold claims from the arbitration process if you choose to?
I don't think it's a question of withholding the claims. Watts would have you believe that we had 160 claims in our pocket and we waited and on day 61 we filed all of them. This is not the case. We filed them as they came up on the statutes of limitations, as we would do in arbitration or in litigation. So I don't know that it's necessarily intent of withholding them. We just were no longer a member and therefore they were not subject to compulsory arbitration.
Is the argument that the language in Article 1st is illusory if your option is to elect to hold a claim in-house in Farmers Claims Department as opposed to taking a claim that is subject to the agreement and filing that with the arbitration panel?
And I understand your concern, Your Honor. I think that part of it is, as it goes through the claims process, say that these are all water supply lines. There's a flooded and insured house. Farmers may not know for 6 to 12 months whether it's a viable claim or not, who the manufacturer is. It's got to work its way through the process. And so then after it works its way through the process, they need to decide whether or not they're going to bring it. Is it worth it on the value? Are there issues with the design? Or was it perhaps a homeowner's issue with installation, something like that? So there's all these things that have to be worked through. They're not necessarily sitting on these claims. And your argument as to the illusory nature of it, if you also look at the Article 5th, arbitration forums has the right to compel withdrawal of any company if they feel that they're abusing the arbitration process at any time. And so the agreement can also be enforced in that manner. And I did not go into the arguments back and forth between who's actually a party to the contract, because at the end of the day, I don't believe it matters if you enforce the contract as written. But our argument was that the contract is between farmers and arbitration forums and not Watts.
So, and if I'm hearing you, your answer to my question is, it's not illusory because there's a claims process to be evaluated in terms of internally with your claims adjusters working with the insured to decide how you're going to handle that claim in terms of payment, non-payment, whatever policy defense you might have. And then after that process is finished, then it's ripe for considering whether or not it's going to be filed with the arbitration panel. And at that point, you still have an election not to file it if you choose and leave it as a claim over here that we're not going to try to have a subrogation claim on.
Well, I would supplement my answer with this, Your Honor, because I think it'll address your concern. Farmers was a member of arbitration forums for, I want to say, 10 or 20 years. And so for this entire period, this is not a business, this is a business decision that they did not take lightly. So for the entire time that they were a member of arbitration forums, There was no holding back of claims. They weren't sitting on them and waiting to withdraw and that sort of thing. So the only time this is going to be an issue is at withdrawal. And I would assert that it's not illusory because of Article 6, which states the exact parameters of the withdrawal and what happens with the claims versus the cases. When there's a withdrawal, there's an ability to file those in litigation only if they occurred within a small period, a certain period of time from 2 years back from the effective date of the withdrawal, and if they've not already been filed.
Mr. Evidence and the trial courts, either of the trial courts, about the number of claims that fit the category of having been claims that were in the, within the knowledge of farmers but not made a part of the arbitration panel that still were within the limitations period. In other words, how many hundreds or thousands or tens or however many claims is that, was that in the record?
There was not a specific number as to everything that was unfiled. I believe Watts had some numbers in there about how many we had filed since September 29th of 2014, and it was 160, maybe, somewhere around there.
157?
Yes. Right.
So there wasn't anything in the record about numbers of claims that farmers had elected not to participate in the forum, but still were eligible in terms of statute of limitations to be filed?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. As I hear counsel's argument, the issue of whether or not a claim must be brought, whether it's subject to compulsory arbitration under the agreement, is solely dependent on when farmers chooses to bring the claim. The parties entered into an agreement that said you had to bring all claims in arbitration, any claims in arbitration. So it can't be subject to the whims of farmers in deciding, I'm going to hold back and not bring this claim or not. They can choose not to bring a claim at all. I'm sure there are a number, as Your Honor had asked, we don't know what that number is, but I'm sure there are a number of claims or the Venn diagram that we have that shows that there's a whole bunch of claims out there that aren't pursued. But if you are going to pursue it, if you have done your investigation, you've evaluated the claim, you've determined that there's a potential for someone else to be liable, in this case, namely Watts, and you believe you have a subrogation claim against them, then under the terms of the agreement, under the intent of the parties when they entered into an agreement whose sole purpose is compulsory arbitration, those claims you need to bring. And there's nothing other than the statute of limitations, which neither of us control in this situation, there's nothing that prevents them from bringing these two claims in arbitration forums and any other claims they have in arbitration forums.
Here's the sticking point. In my mind, where I'm getting stuck, is what about claims that supposedly accrue during the 60 days after Farmers has withdrawn? Under your position, those still have to be brought before the 60-day period ends, even if the claim, even if they actually accrue within that 60-day period.
No, they can be brought after that. That 60-day isn't you. Our position is that you are the sole arbiter of what claims you have, what claims you intend to pursue, who might be liable, whether Watts or any other entity. That's solely within Farmers' possession. We don't know that information. We don't even know, but most of the times, that the claim's even out there, unless Farmers has notified us. So you can bring that claim in our forms after the 60 days, because we've consented to it under the terms of the rules of ARB forums, and the contract specifically says that ARB forum can make the rules and we agree to be bound by those. So we've consented under the rules to allow those claims still to be filed in ARB forums. Any one of these cases, any one of the cases that they filed, the 37 or whatever that are pending, I think it's a lot more than that now, But any one of those pending in Texas or any other place, the 157 across the country, they can all be brought in ARB forms, not because we're consenting to it now as part of this proceeding, but because we don't have a choice. We have to consent because the rules of ARB forms that we agreed to be bound by mandates our consent, that every single one of those claims or cases, if they're filed somewhere, can be brought in ARB forms. So there's nothing that's going to preclude them from bringing claims now in ARB forms just because they are no longer a signatory. And we do that all the time. We have cases all the time with non-signatories that voluntarily agree to submit to ARB forms. In this instance, we are mandated to, we've pre-consented to them bringing all those claims in ARB forms, even though they have withdrawn from ARB forms. So there's nothing going to bar them from bringing any of these claims from the Martinez case, the Sino case, or any other case they have, other than the statute of limitations, which again is outside the control of us or them.
So basically then under your construction, if a claim, quote, technically accrues during the 60-day time period after notice of withdrawal has been given by farmers, then they would still be being forced to participate in ARB forums almost 2 years after their withdrawal.
If the claim arose, and under Texas law, a claim accrues for a subrogation claim accrues under Texas law on the date of the loss, those claims that accrued during the period of time that they were a member, we're not attempting to assert this as to anything that occurred after November 23rd, 2014, but everything that accrued up until that date should be brought in ARB forums, and this court should compel farmers to bring those cases in ARB forums. Yes.
Okay. Counsel, the language in Article 1st specifically says that signatory companies must forego litigation and submit. Now, is that a requirement to submit all claims, or is that just saying that if you don't submit them, then you can't litigate them?
Yes, I mean, and the guidelines actually are instructive on that point. They say we don't want you to go taking claims that you've abandoned and you have no intention of pursuing, and they're maybe still within the statute of limitations, but you as an insurance company have determined you're not going to pursue it. It's a $500 claim. It's a $1,000. We don't want you to go, when you sign up, go take all those stale claims and bring them in. That's not the intent. But if it's a pending claim, if you have it and it's active, whether you're still doing your investigation or whatever, even if it occurred before you signed up, it had to be brought in arbitration. So it stands to reason that the ones that occurred while you were a member also have to be brought in arbitration. The article says that any claim must be brought. So it's not saying you have to bring every claim you have, but anyone you want to pursue has to be brought in arbitration while you're a member, for however many years. I don't know that the record below reflects that, but for however many years you're a member and the other party is a member of ARB forums, then any disputes that you have to be brought in ARB forums. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Ms. Daniel. We appreciate your briefing and your arguments before the court today. Your case is submitted, and we will be adjourned.